Okay, everyone. Good afternoon. Today is July 8th.
What did he say now?
And we are here at United Orthodox Synagogues of Houston, our continuing class in the book of Yirmiyahu. And before we look at some text, we're going to look at a map, which you should have in front of you. And the map shows two forces. The force of Egypt, Mitzrayim, which is represented by the dotted line, heading up from Egypt all the way up to the north. And then you have the forces of Babylonia, of Babel, represented by the single line, heading south from Babylonia, from Babel, south towards Egypt. These are the two forces that represent who was sort of in charge of this entire territory. You see where Yerushalayim is during Yirmiyahu's reign at the specific time that we're talking about now, specifically during the reign of Yoshiyahu. Because if you remember, up until right now, we're going to see, the Egyptians were in charge. Remember that whole fight with the Egyptians, and Yoshiyah made a tactical, political, military error. You okay?
Mistake.
And he shouldn't have gone to meet Mitzrayim, to meet Egypt, to stop them from going through the land. He didn't want them going through the land, even though they said, you know, we have no business with you. We don't want to do you any harm. Let us just pass through. He didn't want them even to pass through. And then there was a fight, and he was killed. And now his son takes over, and so Egypt is in charge. But now what happens is Nebuchadnezzar becomes the king of Babel, the kingdom of Babylonia.
He went up to Hamat and mm-hmm. then returned. Oh, so why there are, who went further up?
We didn't see it, but Egypt also went further up, all the way up to, you see, to Carchemish. Okay, and so now where we are in the story of Yirmiyahu is that Babel ascends to power, and the Carchemish was a fortress, an Egyptian fortress up north, that was the fortress that was sort of holding back the Babylonian forces from going south to take over Israel.
But how far apart time-wise was this?
How much time between what?
The time one went up and one came down.
Oh, it's just a matter of years.
Okay.
It's not a terribly long time at all. So at one point, Babel, Nebuchadnezzar, conquers Carchemish, which allows him now sort of without anyone blocking him to move down towards the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And that's in fact what happens. Within a year, he defeats the Egyptians, and he goes to the coast, and he is able to sail all the way down to Ashkelon, if you see towards the bottom of the map, right? He lands in Ashkelon, and he sends, and you see that he ends up, his troops go all the way down from Babel, all the way down to Wadi El Arish. And so they essentially kick Mitzrayim out of the whole area. And at one point, Mitzrayim gets back a little bit of the territory, but then Babel gets it back once again. So during this period of time, Babel overcomes the entire area, and they are now ruling. Now, this is important because this is what Yirmiyahu has been saying all along. We're going to go back and look at some of those prophecies. All along, Yirmiyahu has been saying that there's a storm coming from the north, right? So we were wondering what happened. Egypt had come up and they had taken over everything, but that wasn't what Yirmiyahu had been talking about. He kept saying there's something coming from the north, and this is in fact what it is. It's Nebuchadnezzar that, because he's finally able to break through Carchemish, is able to then send his troops further south, all the way down into what is Syria today, and then eventually into Eretz Yisrael, all the way down to Mitzrayim, all the way down to Egypt.
So on the way they took over Yerushalayim.
They become the governing, yeah. And then we're going to see this. Ultimately, this is going to lead to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash.
Yeah.
But not yet. Right now, they're just sort of the military power that's controlling the whole area.
Controlling, like, the coast? Is that the reason they're on that?
Well, the coast is very important. And but you see, they're even more inland than the coast. So they're controlling the whole thing. Egypt has been vanquished, and Babel is now in charge. So, for example, if we want to look at some psukim, if we look just quickly at Melachim Bet, Kings 2, chapter 24, you want to, let's get some more of those.
What's that? Here, 24 is on page 830.
Kings
837.
Okay.
That's King 2. You said 24, right?
Yeah, the first pasuk. It says, Bayamim biyamav Allah Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel vayihi lo yehoyakim eved shalosh shanim vayashav vayimrad bo vayishlach Hashem bo. Right, so Nebuchadnezzar arose, right, and Yehoyakim became subservient to him. This is Yehoyakim. This is the king who we're talking about currently, who's involved with Yirmiyahu. So what's happening now in the book of Yirmiyahu is also spoken about historically in Melachim Bet. So now we could look at some text in Yirmiyahu to get a sense of what's going on. So we're going to start looking. We're going to jump around. We're going to look. We're going to start first in Yirmiyahu chapter 46. Okay, we are on page 1122. Okay, so this chapter talks about the downfall of Mitzrayim, the downfall of Egypt at the hands of Bavel. And specifically here that it's in the fourth year of Yehoyakim, the son of Yoshiah. Yehoyakim is not really, right, we know that Yirmiyahu doesn't really like Yehoyakim that much. He has fallen short of his father's attempts to try to rid the Jewish people of Avodah Zarah. But nonetheless, he's the son of Yirmiyahu's friend, and Yirmiyahu still wants to try to deal with the situation as much as possible. So if we look just the first, let's say, 10 psukim here, Asher hayad devar Hashem el Yirmiyahu anavi al hagoyim. The word of the Lord to the prophet Yirmiyahu concerning the nations. Now this is very interesting. L'Mitzrayim al-chel paro necho melech Mitzrayim asher haya al nahar prat b'kar kemish asher hika Nebuchadnezzar melech Bavel b'shnat ha-revit l'Hoyakim ben Yosha melech Yehuda. Like we said, in the fourth year of Yehoyakim's reign, Nebuchadnezzar finally is able to overcome Karkamish, right, which was defeated by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babel in the fourth year, etc. Irchu magen v'tzina u'gishu l'milchama isru hasusim v'alu ha'prashim yityatzfu b'chovayim mirku harimachim livshu hasiriyot. Get ready, buckler and shield, and move forward to battle. Harness the horses, mount your horsemen, fall in line, helmets on, burnish the lances, don the armor, etc.
What we are doing in
Nazareth. Yes, but here the prophet is sort of saying that despite Mitzrayim's attempts to do all this, it's not going to work, right? This is talking about Mitzrayim, and this is not going to work. If you look on Pasuk 10, V'hayom hahu la'adonai Elohim tzivaot yom nikama lihinakem mitzarav V'achlach cherev v'sav'a v'ravta midamam ki zevach la'adonai Elohim tzivaot beretz tzafon al nahar prat. But the day shall be for the Lord of God, Lord God of hosts, a day when he exacts retribution from his foes. The sword shall devour, it shall be sated and drunk with their blood, for the Lord God of hosts is preparing a sacrifice in the north land by the river of Euphrates. So he's foretelling that it's over for Egypt, right? Egypt is going to fall, and it's nikama, possibly for the death of Yoshia. The Egyptians were the ones who killed him. Parnachah was the one who killed him. So it could be. We'll see a sort of a cycle where God uses these nations in his service, and then he punishes them, right? So it's very interesting. Parnachah came and conquers Eretz Yisrael, kills Yoshia. Then what's going to happen? Then Bavel's going to come, and they're going to oust Mitzrayim, and then Bavel's reign is only going to last for 70 years, and then they're going to be ousted, right? So, although 70 years is interesting, some of the commentaries say that when Yirmiyahu says it's going to be 70 years, 70 years essentially is the lifespan of a human being, and at least in these times. And it's suggesting that this is a long reign, meaning Bavel's going to take over for a long time. It is 70 years, but 70 years is not something that we should sneeze at. 70 years is something which should bother us a great deal because it represents a long period of time. Okay, so we see here that Yirmiyahu sort of mocks the Egyptian attempt to try and stop Bavel because it is not going to work. And so immediately after Nebuchadnezzar wins up north in Carchemish, he embarks on a campaign to sort of quiet and subdue the entire region that's under Egypt's allies. You have to remember, up until now, right, the kingdom under Jehoiakim was an ally of Egypt, right? He allied himself with Egypt, which Yirmiyahu said not to do, and that's why some people think that Yirmiyahu was partial to Bavel. You can look at it two ways. Either he was partial to Bavel, or he knew that this was the prophecy that God was going to bring. Siding with Egypt was not going to help, because God had said that Egypt was not, that the storm was coming from the north, so siding with Egypt wasn't going to help anyway. So some people say he was partial to Bavel, but some people say it's not a matter of being partial to Bavel, it's just a matter of him being loyal to the prophecy that he got and recognizing that that's what God was going to do. So in any case, there's no one who could possibly resist the might of Bavel, and especially once they overcame Egypt, there's no one else who's going to be able to fight them. And so Yirmiyahu talks about in these verses again the feeling that it's all over. If we look in if we go back to chapter 4 in Yirmiyahu. Chapter 4, verse 5, which is on page 1013, he says, Higidu b'Yehuda of Yerushalayim, Hishmiu v'imru, proclaim in Judah, announce in Jerusalem, and say, Tiku shofar ba'aretz, kiru malu v'imru, ha'asvu v'navoa el arei ha'mitzar. Assemble and let us go into the fortified cities. Set up a signpost to Zion. Take refuge. Do not delay. For I bring evil from the north and great disaster. The lion has come up from his thicket. The destroyer of nations has set out, has departed from his place to make your land a desolation. Your cities shall be ruined without inhabitants. For this put on sackcloth, mourn and wail. For the blazing anger of the Lord has not turned away from us. And in that day, declares the Lord, the mind of the king and the mind of the nobles shall fail, the priests shall be appalled, and the prophets shall stand aghast. One more pasuk. And I, Lord God, surely you have deceived this people of Jerusalem, saying it shall be well with you, yet the sword threatens their very life. So there's a war coming, right? This is announcing, the horns are announcing the war. There's an emergency. Everyone has to go and hide. Now he doesn't here refer to Bavel by name. He calls it a lion, but it's clear now that we know, right? It's clear that he is in fact talking about Nebuchadnezzar and the kingdom of Babel. So you could imagine that this is a very, very scary prophecy, and probably had a very sobering effect on the people.
So from Babel's point of view, they are brutal to Israel because they took side with Egypt. Is that why?
Yeah, that's part of it. And then there's they just want to take over the whole land. So any resistance is going to be met with brutality. That's the way they fought wars.
Well, but if they took side to them.
Yeah, sure. But then even after, some of it is retribution and some of it is the regular war. But correct, that's correct. Now we look at chapter 6, we see further discussion of the rise of Nebuchadnezzar. And there's sort of an intensified explanation of his rise to power. We're going to start in Pasuk Chaf Bet 22, which is on page 1023. Komar Hashem, Hinei Am Ba Me'eretz Tzafon, V'goy Gadol Ye'or Mi'arketei Aretz. See, a people comes from the northland, a great nation is roused from the remotest part of the earth. They grasp the bow and the javelin. They are cruel, they show no mercy. The sound of them is like a roaring sea. They ride upon horses, accoutred like a man for battle against you, O fair Zion. Zion, we have heard the report of them. Our hands fail, pain seizes us, agony like a woman in childbirth. Do not go out into the country, do not walk the roads, for the sword of the enemy is there, terror on every side. It's not even safe to be on the street anymore.
Yeah, like
it's very,
like
it's very
that.
Bad. Okay. Now, what's very interesting, though, is if you see here, right, Yirmiyahu compares what's going to happen to the pain of childbirth. Right, our hands fail, pain seizes us, agony like a woman in childbirth. Chil ki yoleda. This is not the first time that Yirmiyahu has used this phrase. If we look in chapter 30. Verse 6 in Yirmiyahu. Surely males do not bear young. Why then do I see every man? Page 1084, verse 6. Surely males do not bear young. Why then do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor? And why have all the faces turned pale? So what's the difference, right? In 30, he's saying, what are you complaining about? What are you bellyaching about? Why are you acting like a lady in labor? What's the big deal? But here in chapter 6, he's saying, oh no, that's exactly the right response. It's going to be bad, as painful as labor. So why in chapter 30 is he saying, don't worry, basically. Don't worry, don't moan and groan. Everything's going to be okay. But in verse 6, he's saying, oh, it's not going to be okay. What's the difference? Because if you look in verse 30.
Which chapter?
I'm sorry, chapter 30. Look at the beginning of chapter 30. Page 1083.
Chapter 30.
Lamed, yeah. The word which came to Yirmiyahu from the Lord. Thus said the Lord, the God of Israel. Write down in the scroll all the words that I have spoken to you. For days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel and Judah, said the Lord, and I will bring them back to the land. And these are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. Thus said the Lord, we have heard cries of panic, terror without. Right? So, but what's the difference here? We're still talking about Yoshiah's reign, where he's trying to fix everything. So everything's going to be okay. If you straighten up, everything's going to be okay.
How do you know you're in Yoshiah's time?
Because it just is, in the context of the other prakim surrounding it. So this is part of the challenge of Yirmiyahu, that it seems to be more arranged by themes than it is arranged by chronological order, okay? But in any case, it's interesting to see how Yirmiyahu uses the very same imagery. Once it's uncalled for, it's an unnecessary panic, and here it's exactly what's called for, right? This is what's going to happen. It's going to be very, very, it's going to be very, very bad for you.
So I what do you expect the people? If he says every day something else. They are confused.
Well, he's had a 20-year, he's had a long career at this point, probably in the area of 20 years. And so, yeah, at one point he changes his tune. But it's not like day to day. It's not back and forth, right? There are different kings.
The way that we're looking at it when we are reading it, it's like it's every day something.
Right, but no, it's not that, right? That's why we have to clarify.
Right now, they're not going in the good way.
Right.
So
they become...
Vishashish Vod Israel, when he said in Perek 30...
That's earlier. That's before. Remember we saw that it was sort of a change in Yirmiyahu's attitude. First, he thought there was hope. They could fix themselves. And then he realized there's no hope. So 30 is still talking about the days when Yirmiyahu thought that there's maybe some hope. And if you fix yourself, everything's going to be okay. But now he realizes that's not the case. There's no hope. And you better get ready for the labor pains. Now, by the way, it's interesting. Labor pains usually end up with something good on the other side.
Yeah.
Right? But here, it doesn't seem that way at all. This is just going to be all suffering, and nothing positive.
Why would you say they use that analogy?
Because it's well known.
Because it's a man talking; they don't know what's talking.
No, I think the opposite. They know exactly how painful it is.
How do they know?
Because you hear people screaming. It's very descriptive. How else are they supposed to explain it? They didn't pull your teeth back then. What else are they supposed to say? Like having your appendix out? They didn't have your appendix out then. What other image could they give that would be so readily available to everyone? Right? It's readily available to everyone that childbirth is painful. So that's exactly the image. That makes sense. It makes sense that that's the image they use.
It's interesting. You said that Shaluna Uru in
Where are you?
Yeah.
In Lamed.
In Lamed?
No, what they mean here is, what do you think? You're in labor? You're a man. Don't cry over it because it's going to be good.
No, right. Meaning, right. Surely males do not bear you. Right. Why then do I see? Right. Surely means, Shaluna ru'u im yoled zachar. So look around. Do mans give birth? Meaning, what are you complaining about?
There's nothing to complain about.
Men don't give birth. There's nothing to complain about. Just like men don't give birth and there's nothing to complain about, you have nothing to complain about either because everything's going to be okay. If.
It's always an if.
Right. Okay. Now we jump to chapter 25 in Yirmiyahu.
Oh, okay.
Today's a little bit of a roller coaster for us.
Okay. That's on page 1071.
We're going to start with Pasuk Aleph. Hadavar, page 1071. Hadavar asher haya al Yirmiyahu al kol am Yehuda b'shana reviit lihoyakim ben Yoshiyahu melech Yehuda hi ashna rishonit levuchanetzar melech pevel. Now we're really zeroing in. That is the fourth year of the reign of Yehoyakim, which is the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. Right, what's interesting, the first year you often would think he's consolidating, he's planning. His first year, he is...
going.
Right, he's
head
gone. Asher dibir Yirmiyahu Navi el kol am Yehuda v'el kol Yoshe Yerushalayim limor. Min shalosh esrei shana liYoshiyahu ben Amon melech Yehuda v'ad hayom hazeh zeh shalosh reshim shana haya devar Hashem elai. He's like I said before, I've been telling you this for 23 years. Right? From the 13th year of Yoshiyahu's reign until now, right, which represents 23 years, the word of the Lord has come to me. V'adaber aleichem. Ashkem vidaber velo shamatem. Right, I have spoken to you persistently, but you would not listen. Vishalach Hashem aleichem et kol avadav hanivim. Hashkem vishalach velo shamatem velo hititem et aznechem l'shmoa. The Lord has constantly sent all His servants, not just me. There have been others, other prophets who have been trying to get this across to you, but you won't listen. Leimor shuvu na ish midarko hara'a. If you straighten up, you could stay here, right? That you may remain throughout the ages on the soil which the Lord gave to you and your fathers. If you stay here, if you do what I tell you to do, everything's going to be okay. V'lo shamatam elaynum Hashem l'man hach iseni b'maasei deichem l'ralechem. You didn't listen to me, and you have made me angry.
It's not even he didn't listen. They used the word vexed. They made him angry.
Right.
More than just not listening.
Right. Okay. Lachain, kamar shem tzivot, yad asher lo shamatam et devarai, hinishalech v'lakachti et kol mishpachot tzafon Hashem, ben levuchanetzar melech bavel abdi, ve'heviotim al haaretz hazot ve'al yoshreha. I'm going to bring Nebuchadnezzar. Look what he calls Nebuchadnezzar now. My servant. Right? That's very serious. First of all, it's clear now Nebuchadnezzar is sort of God's pawn. But also, right, for B'nai Yisrael, imagine how the Jews felt. Like, that's amazing. God, the one who's coming to destroy us. How the tables have turned, right? What he's saying is, you've become, because if you also look at verse 6, do not follow other gods to serve them. You've started serving other gods, so it's like mida k'neged mida. You, it's measure for measure. You started serving other gods, so I've taken another servant for myself. I'm finished with you, right? Right. You've rebelled against me, so now I'm going to rebel against you. I have another servant. I'm going to take another servant. Right? I think the usage of that same word is very powerful. Very powerful. Imagine how they feel. Right? That's a shocking thing. It's one thing to say the enemy is coming, but my servant, the enemy is coming. And now we can continue in Pasuk 12. I'm sorry. Now, okay, that's it for chapter 25. We'll quickly look at back at some psukim in chapter 5 that we didn't see.
Is that when for we use the quote the Kosimcha?
It appears more than once, I believe, in Tanakh.
Can't be from here.
It could be that we're using it there. We're using it to sort of turn it around. I believe it appears more than once.
Yeah.
Okay, so what pasuk? Let me look at that quickly. In Chaf Dalid? In Chaf He?
In which?
In what parak? Chaf He?
Parak
Chaf He. Let's see. It could be that the reason we sing it is because we sing it as when we sing it, we're reversing the curse. We're reversing the curse.
Besides, it's not anymore
wrong. Right.
That's right. Only in the case we want to ruin it.
Okay, so Yirmiyahu is telling B'nai Yisrael, why this is happening. For 23 years, I've been trying to tell you this is going to happen, and you haven't been listening the whole time, and now it's finally going to happen. And now we see we stay in chapter 25. Yirmiyahu now also begins. We've seen also he now is going to offer prophecy not just to the Jewish people. He's also going to offer prophecy to the other nations. Here's what happens: chapter 25, verse 9, starting on verse 9. He says. Hineni sholeach v'lakachti et kol mishpachot tzafon ne'um Hashem v'el nevuchanetzar melech bavel avdi v'avotim el aretz hazot v'al yoshveha v'al kol hagoyim ha'ela saviv v'charamtim. Oh, I'm going to get to that. I'll get to that afterwards. Not yet. Okay, so he calls him his servant, and he's trying to open up the eyes of B'nai Yisrael to see what's going to happen, even though they refuse to listen, meaning very soon Bavel is going to descend on this land, and they're going to destroy every semblance of life here. Everything's going to be destroyed.
Is he going to kick them out, or is he going to kill them?
Well, both. Many people, this is the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, when many people are killed, and those who aren't killed are taken to Bavel.
Oh, but after 70 years... You'll punish Babel.
Right.
So
exactly.
It's not his friend anymore.
Right. Right.
All the goyim
right.
in the area.
So
all
now...
But what will be in 70 years?
Let's look now in chapter 25, verse 10. V'havarti mehem kol satan v'kol simcha kochatam v'kol kala. I'm sorry, 18. Go to 18. Sorry about that. Excuse me. Et Yerushalayim ve'et arei Yehuda ve'et melacheha et sareha latet otam l'charba l'shama l'sreka v'liklala hayom hazeh. Bad news, right? To make them a desolate ruin, object of hissing and of curse, as is now the case. Et paro melech Mitzrayim ve'et avada ve'et sarah ve'et kol amo ve'et kol ha'erev ve'et kol malchei eretz ha'utz v'et kol malchei eretz plishtim, v'et Ashkelon, v'et Azav, v'et Ekron, v'et Shirit Ashdod, et Edom, et Moab, et Bnei Amon, v'et kol malchei Tzor, v'et kol malchei Tzidon, v'et kol malchei Ai Asher Be'er Hayam, v'et, right? All of these nations are going to fall. All of these people are going to fall to Babel. Right, Opus, right.
No, but he said that after 70 years, Babel will fall too.
Right,
where
yes.
What does it say?
Pasuk Yud Bet.
Right, Pasuk Yud Bet is talking about what's going to happen to Bavel. But he's saying in the meantime, all of these other nations, right, look in verse 17, Ve'ekach et hakos miyad Hashem, ve'eshka et kol hagoyim asher shelachani Hashem aleihem. So I took the cup from the hand of the Lord and gave drink to all the nations to whom the Lord had sent me.
That means
and
that
all of these nations...
Also against the,
he's telling
the
them all, right. He's telling everyone, right, right. Right.
Let's start from scratch.
All the surrounding nations are going
to
drink the same cup of wrath,
I'm
if you will.
I'm waiting to see what he right. said about the Israelites. Okay, they are right. in Babel. Where does it say that they'll come back, that he brings them back?
So we have that, for example, you could see that...
I'm sure he didn't mean to have all the Israelites.
Right, we have that elsewhere. We have, it. We know historically. We have historically there was a 70-year. It was a seven. Bava was in, and then 70 years later, the second Beit HaMikdash was built.
Right.
Yeah.
But do we have anything as a fact that there were Jews in Israel, even though most of them were in?
Oh, during those 70 years, I'm not sure.
That's what they need.
I'm not sure. Okay. Well, the Pesukim here says no. The Pesukim say it's going to be emptied. Everyone's going.
That's what it says.
But
that is
right. Always somebody hiding somewhere.
It could have been.
Always the chosen.
You think that placate the Arabs?
Now let's just look at.
I don't need to play for them. I need to play.
Let's just look at one more thing. Let's just look at chapter 35.
Bombing their holy city now. Very holy.
If we look at chapter 35, we see something interesting that Yirmiyahu does. Chapter 35, page 1098. Right, because Bavel has conquered Ashkelon. And
which pasuk?
I'll tell you in a second. This chapter describes a meeting in Yerushalayim between Yirmiyahu and where are we? We could look in verse 6 and 7.
Kings of the Kayan.
Okay, there's a meeting, let's talk about that afterwards. There's a meeting between between Yirmiyahu and this group of people who have also run away because they are afraid of Bavel. So look what happens in chapter 35, 6 and 7, okay? Let's just start from the beginning. Of the chapter. The word which came to Yirmiyahu from the Lord in the day of King Jehoiakim, son of Yoshiah Yehuda, go to the house of the Rachavim, the Rechabites, and speak to them, and bring them to the house of the Lord, to one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. So it's a tribe. It's a tribe. And they are running away also from Bavel. Okay? And so God says, Yirmiyahu, go get them, go greet them, and bring them to the Beit HaMikdash, go into one of the rooms. This is apparently maybe, Yirmiyahu was really a persona non grata, right? He was not welcome at the Beit HaMikdash, based on what we've learned already. But this could be he had an ally who sneaks him into the Beit HaMikdash, to one of the chambers. And so listen to what happens. So I took Ya'azanya, ben Yirmiyahu, ben Chafatzina, ve'et Achav, ve'et Kol Banav, ve'et Kol Beit HaRechavim. He takes them all in.
So Yirmiyahu also from Beit
HaRechavim? No, it's just the same name. Yeah. And I brought them to the house of the Lord, to the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Yigdaliyahu, Ish Elohim, Asher Eitzel, Lishkat HaSarim. He takes them in. Ve'tein lifnei b'nei beit ha-rechavim givi'im milim yayin v'chosot v'omer alem shtu yayin. He brings them in, have a drink.
Those are good people.
They're good guys. Yeah.
He
drinks them in. What happens? Vayomru lo nishte yayin. We're not going to drink. Ki yonadav ben rechav avinu tziva alein leimor lo tishtu yayin atem uvenechem ad olam. This group of people, they have some sort of ban on alcohol, right? They're not allowed to drink alcohol. Uvayet lo tivnu, v'zera lo tizra'u, v'cherem lo tita'u, v'lo yulachem, ki ba'alim, teshru, ko yameichem, l'man tichyu yamim rabim. He also says they're going to...
Simple people.
Simple.
Rabbi, he's not going to drink with you or your children. It doesn't say with just not drinking.
We will not drink wine. For our ancestors and other commandments, you shall never drink wine, either you or your children.
With, oh, not with you.
Right? Either you or children. Right? So... They're all going to be a sort of nomadic Bedouin tribe that never plants. They sort of live off the land. They go from place to place. And they also never drink alcohol or wine, let's say. Okay? V'nishma b'kol Yehonadav ben Rechav avinu l'chol asher tzivanu v'lti shetot yayin ko yameinu anachnu nashenu uvanenu uvnosenu. And we have obeyed our ancestor. Ulu v'lti v'not batim. We've done everything he said. V'nesha b'olim. We've lived, we haven't built houses. We lived in tents. V'nishma v'na'as k'chol asher tzivanu yonadav avinu. V'ayhi ba'alot nevuchadnetzar melech bavel el eretz v'nomar bo v'navo Yerushalayim m'pnei chel ha'kazdim m'pnei chel aram v'nei shev Yerushalayim. When Nebuchadnezzar of Bavel invaded the country, he said, come, let us go into Jerusalem because of the army of the Chaldeans and the army of Aram, and so we are living in Yerushalayim. Okay, that's the meaning.
So they were not in exile?
No,
they were staying in Yerushalayim.
Yes.
Yeah.
See, we have
no proof. No, they're not. No, the exile hasn't happened yet. The Jews are still there. Yirmiyahu's there with them.
Yeah, but that's the story. They will be there.
We don't
they
know.
Will be left.
But they're not Jews.
We don't know. The Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, go say to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, you can learn a lesson about obeying my commandments, declares the Lord. The commands of Yonadav, son of Rechavav, have been fulfilled. He charged his children not to drink wine. And to this day, they have not drunk in obedience to the charge of their ancestor. But I spoke to you persistently, and you did not listen to me.
Wow.
I persistently sent you my servants to the prophets to say, turn back every one of you from your wicked ways and mend your deeds. Do not follow other gods to serve them. Then you remain, etc. But you did not give ear. The family of Yonadav, son of Rechav, have indeed fulfilled the charge which their ancestors gave them, but this people has not listened to me. Assuredly, thus said the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, I am going to bring upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem all the disaster with which I have threatened them, for I spoke to them, but they would not listen. Meaning these people had a much harder life. Their forefathers said, don't live in houses, don't build fields, continue to move around, don't drink wine. All I asked of you, right, was not to serve another god. You could build a house, you could build a field, you could drink as much wine as you want, but all I asked you, just that one thing, don't follow other gods. And I was also upset when you started treating the disadvantaged poorly. So that's all I've asked for you. And you couldn't do it, right? So it's like an object lesson that God is giving to Yirmiyahu. So he could, maybe that'll shake them up. I don't even know if at this point there's any hope. We know there's no hope. But he's trying to impress upon the Jewish people just how disappointing.
Well, it's interesting.
Just how disappointing they are.
They were good people at that time. Not everybody was doing...
What?
That's why he points them out. They did not do anything.
Why is he killing the goyim? He didn't ask them not to serve other gods. Why is he killing them and not
because
you?
Because
that's a good question. It's unclear. It's unclear why they're all going to. You know, they could just be. They're just going to get caught up in the wave of Bavel's. Well, we don't know. We don't know. But yeah, it's a good question. We don't know. But they're going to get caught up in the general political and military wave. Because God wants Bavel to take over the whole thing, so everyone else has got to make way. Okay, so now the Nebuchadnezzar's reign has started, and we know that it's going to be very bad. We're going to continue now discussing more and more about Nebuchadnezzar. We'll have one more class next week, then we're going to have a few weeks off.
May I say something?